Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now. Knocking out all bums, baby. Here I stand, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio race, Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I'm not only your host, I'm an award-winning writer, so I know a little bit about boxing, and I won four Golden Gloves. Lucky enough to win four Golden Glove championships. Bottom line is, if I know something about boxing, I'm sure you know more. The boxing fan knows more than the expert, okay? So I will give you the chance on the toll-free. I'll throw it open here. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. You can hit me with any question you want. You want to rip me, you can. But the bottom line is, keep it clean. We are FCC controlled. That's right. Keep it clean. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Of course, wow, we'll be joined by the WBC 130-pound champion, Oscar Valdez. Of course, undefeated now, 30 years old. Of course, 29-0, 22 knockouts. The two division champion, current WBC 130-pound champion. Of course, knocking out 5-1 favorite Miguel Burchelt a fortnight ago. I mean, that was a fortnight ago. That was a huge, huge upset in the minds of some, but not everybody. Anyway, Oscar Valdez after the break. After that, we'll bring in the boxing, PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. So you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Of course, that is coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, or you can catch us on the Twitch archive. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk, baby, but you know that.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Check it, 19 and a half minutes past hour. This is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, WBC Boxing TV. We come to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours. Live right here from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Now we take it to the south of the border and bring in boxing royalty, folks. I'm talking about a two-division world champion coming off the knockout of the year. What can I say about Oscar Valdez? He's handsome, he's articulate, and he's on the show. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm very excited to be here with you guys.
Man, we're excited to have you. You're like the hottest thing in boxing right now.
It's literally a dream come true, to be honest. You know, I'm very excited for all this that's going on. You know, I dream about these moments, and I'm living it right now.
I got to ask you this, Oscar. I mean, I knew you were a great fighter. I watched you when you had the 126-pound title and this and that, and people sort of, I guess, dismissed you because I looked at some of those internet betting wise, and it was you like a 5-1 underdog.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, there was times where I started even doubting myself because everybody, all the boxing analysis and comments through everywhere, the bets, the odds were all against me. And you know, there was times where I kept on asking myself, you know, is that real? And there was a fight battle between my own self. You know, I kept on telling myself that's not real. I'm working too hard. Losing is not an option for me. And, you know, I just put the time and the effort in the gym. There was no way in hell he was going to beat me.
You know, you and I, we both have those two little people the person on her shoulders, the one on the left side, the one on the right side. Of course, the right side always keeps you honest. Are you doing enough? Are you doing the road work? Are you putting in the time in the gym, the whole 9 yards? That's that side that makes you a great fighter, man. That's what separates you from the other people. You understand what I'm saying?
And that's always on my mind, being honest. You know, it doesn't matter how hard I work. I always put in the hard work in the gym. I always go back to the spot where I'm staying at. And I ask myself, did I give the 100% that I needed to do? Because if you don't give the 100%, that could be the difference if you win the fight or not. You know, every day is that you gotta just push it out, work hard, leave the gym exhausted. That's my work ethic. That's my mindset. And, you know, to this day, it's been working out. So I'm always keep that mindset.
Okay. Oscar Valdez is our guest, of course. He's WBC and Linear Ring Magazine, 130-pound world champion, coming off the knockout of the year a fortnight ago of Mikel Berchelt. A 5-1 underdog in some people's books. Well, I thought that was like a bit off the wall. He is 30 years old, 29 in zip, 23 kills. As I said, a former WBO title holder at 126, now the world champion and WBC title holder at 130 pounds. Talk to me about your start. Where are you from? And you speak perfect English. Have you spent some time in the United States? What's up?
I was born in Nogales, Sonora, when I was just about one and a half years old. My father and my mother moved to Tucson, Arizona, where I did my elementary school. I did it over there in Tucson. So that's why my English is pretty good.
Pretty good?
As a kid. Yeah,
it's perfect.
Kid, you absorb everything and you learn everything very so quick. And it just stuck with me. You know, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my father got a divorce from my mother and I decided to go with my father. I was always very attached to my father, you know, always very close to him. And I decided to go with him. And that's where my boxing career started. Ever since I was 8 years old, I stepped in the boxing gym, following my father's footsteps, and I fell in love with the sport. To this day, my father is still with me in the corner. He's my manager. He's my trainer. He's my best friend, and he's my father at the same time. So, you know, I'm glad that he pushed me to be the person that I am right now.
Well, let's credit your father, no doubt about that. Now, let's talk about, you came from Sonora. I mean, you and Belcher were both originally from Sonora, Mexico, the same state. Is that it?
No, I'm from Nogales, Sonora. He's from Yucatan. Down south Mexico, but we both train here in Hermosillo. We both live here. We're pretty much neighbors. That's something that was pretty crazy. You know, we've got the chance to see each other in different occasions. We pretty much run at the same spots. We eat at the same restaurants. You know, there's a great possibility I might, you know, see Berchenda in the streets in the next couple of days because we pretty much, like I said, we're neighbors.
You know, that scene with you and him after the fight, with you kneeling in front of him and he was on the stool. I gotta tell you, I've been around this game a long, long time, and I think both me and Mauricio, we both almost cried when we saw that. It was just like, it was so emotional. It was heavy.
It was real. It was real. The feelings that we had. We said it before this fight, you know, once this contract was signed, you know, all that friendship was out the window. You know, there was no friendship. Once the fight was signed, once the contract was signed, but prior to that, you know, we're great friends. We know he's a great person. He's a great champion. And we said it, win or lose, you know, we're still going to be friends and we're still going to be, partners in the boxing world. And that's what we did. You know, after the fight, you know, I don't wish him nothing bad. There was times where I was, obviously I was jumping around excited because I accomplished my dream to become WBC world champion. That's something I always dreamed of ever since I was 8 years old. So of course I was very excited, jumping up and down. But the moment I saw him not reacting, not getting up, that worried me, and it worried me a lot because I don't wish him nothing bad. On the contrary, once he got up, that's the reason why I stepped up to him. I walked up to him, got on my knees, and I told him that I wish him nothing but the best, and that he has a brother here with me. And I told him that soon we're going to see each other here down in Hermosillo, Sonora, and just go out and eat, go have a good time because, like I said, I don't wish them nothing bad.
Okay. Tell us what it's like. You got Eddie Reynoso working with you, of course. I saw a picture of you and him in the ring afterwards. What's the idea of the finger in front of the mouth? What is this quiet? What does that mean?
Well, it was a lot of people, you know, talking, saying that they were going to knock me out, telling them my career was over, that I wasn't the same fighter after after I got my jaw broken. And that really bugged us, you know, it bugged me, and, you know, I really don't take nothing personal. I really don't.
You took that personal.
But for some reason, this fight was special, and, you know, I took it from heart. You know, people doubted me. A lot of my own friends, will tell me that fight wasn't good for me because I was going to lose. So that message was to all those people who doubted me and who kept on, running their mouth and saying that I was going to lose. But at the same time, you know, I'm just very happy that we won. You know, hopefully no one got offended with the finger. Like I said, you know, it was a very special moment for me. That's why all those emotions were going through my mind, and that's why Eddie Reynoso and myself, we told them with the finger to, you know, to keep the mouth quiet.
You know, Burchell was a big guy, a huge guy body-wise, maybe weighed like 140 pounds in the ring, if not more. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Are you at a size disadvantage at 130 pounds?
Well, I've always been like this. You know, I've always been the shorter fighter in all the cages. Ever since I was in the Olympics fighting at 123 pounds, I was small. And then when I was 126 fighter, I was a small fighter. And now going up to 130 pounds, you know, there's nothing new to me being the smaller fighter in the ring, you know, but Burchett was a bigger fighter. You know, there was something that I haven't faced before as far as a bigger advantage. I knew every moment that if he lands that one big shot, the fight's over because he carries a big, heavy hand. And he's probably weighing 145 pounds the night of a fight. So I was very cautious inside the ring, not letting him, you know, get the advantage, not letting him be too comfortable in there, always beating him to a punch, the counter punch, and moving my legs. That's all that we worked out in the gym, and it worked out. You know, so the size advantage didn't work out so well.
Okay. Oscar Valdez is our guest, of course, the WBC 130-pound champion. Do you like go right back into training, or do you like kick back like Roberto Duran and get fat? What do you do between fights?
Well, the advantage that I've had, you know, the experience that I've had already is that I've been a champion before at 126, and I've made some mistakes, and you learn from those mistakes. The first time I became world champion, I celebrated for a whole month. You know, I didn't do nothing for a whole month. I was with my family. We went down to the beach. You know, we were, you know, just enjoying ourselves, you know, knowing that we accomplished our dream to become a world champion, 126 pounds. And then when I got back to the gym, it was the worst experience of my life because it was very hard for me to get back in shape, knowing that I had a fight in front of me. I had a fight in front of me against a Japanese fighter, Irushiwi Osawa. And for that fight, I wasn't even 70% ready for that fight. And it was very scary because I could have lost my title belt in my first title defense. So I told myself I'm never going to let that happen again. So now that I'm a world champion at 130 pounds, I promised to myself that I wasn't going to let that happen. So as soon as I won this fight, I gave the body a rest for a whole week, and then I went back to the gym. I got to stay ready because I know there's a lot of hungry young fighters out there. They're going to want to take this belt. So I got to be very disciplined. I got to be very smart about this. Stay in the gym, stay ready, so I don't have to get ready. That's my mindset, and, you know, and it's been working out so well right now. You know, I just got back from the gym right now, and I'm here with you right now, but, you know, first things first, we've got to hit the gym first, and that's my mindset right now.
Understood. Canelo is the exception to the rule. In the old days, you know, between fights, guys would, you know, have a few drinks and get loaded and get fat and that kind of good stuff. But he sort of, I mean, even Julio Cesar Chavez talked about all the cocaine he did in between fights. But Canelo's been clean as a whistle. Does he set an example? And do you realize that if with your English ability, your ability to speak English, that possibly you could become a bigger star than Canelo in time?
I mean, you know, you learn from these, you know, and, he's a great role model to not only me, but to a lot of young people out there. You know, he's a very, very disciplined fighter. And I once told him that. I told him, you know, you have a great image. You know, I have never seen something bad against you, you know, outside the boxing gym. And that's very hard when all the eyes are on you, where people are, you got paparazzis and this and that. To keep a clean image is very hard unless you really are that disciplined. And Canelo Alvarez is one of those fighters who was disciplined. So you learn from this. I also consider myself a disciplined fighter, but, you know, I don't got all the eyes that Canelo has. So, you know, me and him have talked about this before, and he says the key to all this is being disciplined, staying in the gym, staying, you know, positive, not letting the crowd or letting the fans get the best out of you or believing it too much that you're a rock star or that you're a famous person. You always got to stay humble, stay in the gym, work hard, and all the fights, you know, will eventually become victorious.
When you watch old fights on TV, what fighters do you like to watch?
My favorite fighters to watch would definitely be Marco Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales. That trilogy marked my life. You know, I mean, marked something that I've always wanted to be one of those fighters. You know, and this fight with Lacan Bichette and myself, I kept on comparing them to my idols, which is, like I said, Marco Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales. And I kept on saying, you know, I don't want to ever try to compare myself to my idols, but hopefully one day I give a great fight like these fighters did and inspire young fighters the same way these fighters inspired me.
Okay. What do you, how do I put this? Has life changed a bit in Mexico now that you're a WBC champion? You walk down the street. I mean, what's it like from one day to the next?
It definitely changed a lot. I mean, I've been a little famous ever since I came back from the Olympics back in 2012. Then I became a little bit more famous when I became a WBO world champion at 126 pounds. But nothing like this, you know, nothing like this where I, as soon as I crossed the border, my whole hometown was out there waiting for me. It was very emotional. I was very proud to be a Sonoran fighter. It was a very special moment for me because we didn't plan this. I never told my people I was going to be there at this time, and I'm going to, you know, I'm away from my crowd. We never planned this. It just turned out to be people were waiting for me as soon as I crossed the border. As soon as I crossed the border, I had to have security put me in an ambulance, in the firefighter truck, put me up there and give me a ride. And my whole hometown was waiting for me, cheering for me, throwing items at me so I could sign them. It was very special. It was a very special night. And, you know, it kind of reminded me of the old days where you see Julio Cesar Chavez coming back to his hometown and his whole hometown was waiting for him. And I kept on, you know, pinching myself. Is this real? Because it's literally a dream come true.
Okay. Let's talk about Frank the Wiz Espinoza. You know, I broke him in. You know that, right? I broke Frank in here. I mean, he cut his first interviews on this show like 30 years ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I have to remind him that.
What's it like being around the Wiz? I love him.
Oh, no, he's a great part of my life. You know, he's helped me become who I am right now, and I'm forever, will ever be grateful to everybody who helped me become the person that I am right now and helped me accomplish my dreams. So he's definitely a big part of my life, and I forever will be grateful for him.
Okay. What about your future opponents? I mean, can you name a couple that you would like to fight or anybody that you have in mind?
Yeah. Yes, there's a couple of fighters who I would definitely would love to fight. And one would be, Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson is a great fighter. He's a great softball fighter who has been calling me out for a long time already. You kind of gave me a bad reputation saying that I moved out of the division to not fight him, that's not true. I've never ducked no fighter. I've never been scared of no fighter. I've been fighting ever since I was 8 years old, inside and outside the ring. There's no reason for me to fear any fighter. That's one fighter who I would love to fight. And another one would be the winner of this coming fight, Jermaine Herring and Carl Frampton. I would love to unify my title belt. You know, I think it's a great fight with the winner of Jermaine Herring and Carl Frampton. And, another fighter who just came out of a tremendous win, knocking out Leo Santa Cruz. Gervonta Davis, you know, Gervonta Davis, I think will be a great fight.
Yeah, but you might have to bail him out.
Yeah, I heard the bad news about him. It's very unfortunate, you know, seeing young fighters go through these problems. You know, we're fighters and we should be in the gym. We should be very disciplined. We have a great responsibility as champions, and we need to take those responsibilities very seriously. It's very unfortunate to Gervonta Davis. I wish him nothing but the best. I wish that he comes out of this problem soon, because we want to make these great fights happen for the fans. The fans is one of the most important things out there. If it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be here and getting this the paydays that we need to have.
Oscar, so, I'm running up on a hard break. I want to thank you for appearing on Ring Talk WBC Boxing TV. Come back soon.
I would love to. I would love to talk. I'm always here to talk about great boxing anytime.
The great Oscar Valdez on WBC Boxing TV, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Check it, 32, make it 33 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV, for Sunday, of course, March 28th, 2021. Straight up, the WBC heavyweight title went down yesterday, or a version of it. Of course, Dillian White, a winner in a rematch with Alexander Povetkin. And I've got to ask Boxing's PAC, Socrates Palmer, did he look like he was COVID infected there? Or I'm talking about Alexander Povetkin. He didn't look like he brought his A game.
Oh boy! I mean, you've always heard him. You say that Biden told overnight. He got dead overnight. I mean, he was just really underwhelming. And you know, he did have COVID-19. Maybe he wasn't fully recovered, but he just did not look right. From the first round on, his legs looked terrible. He looked just like it wasn't Alexander Povetkin.
Okay, Socrates, I'm going to let you reconnect with Cuddy because the connection is really bad. Okay, so we'll be back in a second. You are
Hello?
Tuned. I'm going to let you reconnect with Cuddy because the connection is really bad. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. In case you didn't know, we've been on the air 38 years. Started in 1984. It was a bit of a lark. We were doing a show with some guy down in Florida. It was pretty cool. And they, you know, Charles J said, "You want to do some show? We'll call it Ring Talk." And before you knew it, it was like 15 minutes a week. And then in 88, 89, we sort of went into syndication. Before you knew it, like where we are 38 plus years now, knocking out albums, often imitated but never duplicated. Twice a week, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, for the video feed. Of course, the video stream. I guess it's called the stream now. And, of course, live on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and a plethora of other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, want to mention boxing is back on the Estrella TV network. Of course, they're a monthly TV, either a monthly TV series put together by Ricardo Maldonado Jr. I knew his father. I don't know if he's still going. I think it's when I last talked to Ricardo Jr. about a year ago, his father was still alive, but his father was an icon in Mexican boxing as far as managing fighters was concerned. Then he became a promoter. And then, of course, there's Oscar Maldonado's the other son. Oscar and Ricardo Jr. put together the business name. They ran it for many, many years. They had people like Barrera and Eric Morales and things like that. They had some really big names. There's no doubt about it. But they're coming back with a monthly TV series on Estrella TV that's going to go down 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, that's going to start on the last Friday of each month, beginning this month. And of course, will last through 2021. As I said, it is produced by my man, Ricardo Maldonado Jr. Now, back to the line. Let's see if we got that Skype issue together. Boxing's PAC, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And, sir, did you get a chance to see Dillian White?
Yes, I did. And I don't know if it's to be impressed by Dillian White or just, you know, be concerned from what I saw in Povetkin. The fighter can only do his part, and Dillian White definitely did his part. He came in much better shape. His physique was a lot more solid than it was the first time around.
I don't want to call him, you know what, but he's still a stiff to me. I'm talking about Dillian White. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, WBC Boxing TV. After the break, more with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, the kid from the Bronx, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Nobody hurt me, but I know who hurt you, bum, goofy. Remember this? Roddy Romero f***ed you up in sparring. Is this you, Ryan Garcia? Is this you getting touched up? Is this you bleeding? Is this you running? Because the shirt looks like you. Your promoter, Oscar De La Fishnet, don't even believe in you. Do you want proof? Here you go.
Ryan's ready for tape?
No. Oscar, my little boy, Tank is a beast.
Tank is a beast, and you're an Instagram dot. Remember that.
Listen, Ryan Garcia wants to fight you.
No, the he don't. He gonna get up.
If Ryan Garcia can beat Rolly, I give him 200,000 cash.
Are you ever gonna pick up that 200 from Floyd? Or do you want to stay ducking because you know you got little boys and little girls as your main fan base? You a bum.
You got to admit they tell it like it is, or at least they have make it funny doing so, comical. Of course, talking about Ryan Garcia there and Oscar De La Hoya, who happen to both be in the news. Of course, Ryan Garcia, 23-0 with 21 whacks. I love him as a fighter. I love him as a personality. And, of course, you know, I mean, the kid's got it going on him. He's smart, he's bright, he's articulate, but most importantly, he can fight. Of course, undefeated coming out of Southern California. He's going to be taking on Javier Fortuna, comes in at 36-2-1 with 25 KOs in his next fight. And on the flip side of that, Oscar De La Hoya, or Oscar De La Fishnets, has announced he's coming back too as well, July the 3rd against a USC fighter. I don't know what that means, but we'll ask boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer, what does any of that mean?
It means that Oscar De La Hoya is bored at home, I guess, and he's looking for an easy payday.
I can get that Russian hooker to go see him again. I think I still got her number in one of my old computers. You know, the one that brought him the fishnets and all that kind of good stuff. Hey, when I had her on the phone, it was comical. I wish I could have recorded this call, Sock. I kid you not. So I said, you saw, yeah. I said, so what happened? She goes, well, she goes, every time, you know, he would be coming to town, he would like be on these tours. I said, yeah. She goes, he would call me up and tell me to get him a kit. And I said, well, you know, if you're a players know what a kid is. A kid is when you go to Victoria's Secrets or Frederick's or Hollywood, depending on your economic status, and buy a negligee. You know what I'm saying? You hear where I'm coming from? So evidently she bought kids for Oscar in each and every town.
Yeah. A picture's worth a thousand words,
oh.
Right? So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Is Ryan Garcia in decent here against, Mr. Fortuna?
Yes, I think it's a good fight, at this stage in his career. He's fighting a former world champion who can crack. He's a little bit vertically challenged, which is going to play well for Ryan Garcia, but Fortuna could crack and he's awkward. You know, he throws punches from different angles. He's left-handed. He fights touching borderline dirty, you know, so it's going to be a good test for Ryan Garcia. A little different dimension, but Fortuna does have some miles on him. He's been in tough against some of the better names and lightweight, and it's going to be a good fight, good step up for Garcia.
Size matters to me. I never lost to a guy smaller than me. Never. Never. I mean, it was like all these guys I lost to either my size or bigger than me, and the bigger guys it was sort of hard because, you know, I was fighting at 139, it was his junior welterweight. I probably should have been fighting at 132, but Hester was at 132. Had both of us dedicated ourselves, we'd have been at 32 and 126 pounds instead of 132 and 139 pounds instead. Anyway, of course, that's my buddy Hector Martinez, who won two Golden Glove titles. Listen to the show down there in South San Francisco. No, May the 8th, AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas. Of course, I think that's the house that Jerry Jones been built. It'll be on DAZN. They sold over 40,000 tickets for Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Sanders, the Gypsy.
That's pretty good. Wow. Are they going to open up to full capacity?
Well, if they sold 40,000 ticks, I guess they are.
I mean, the place is humongous. I believe it could go up to 100, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. But 40,000 is pretty impressive, you know, with over a month and some change away.
At least. And of course, you know, Canelo Alvarez coming off that win over the Iranian, the Persian fighter, a few weeks ago. And of course, that was on DAZN as well. And now he says he's going to be with Barry Hearn maybe until the end. Has Barry Hearn made the ultimate move now? Is he controlling boxing, all of boxing superstars, just about all of them?
Well, if he's not controlling them, he's at least in the mix. I mean, he's on, it seems, on a weekly basis. You know, they're putting on good shows. Maybe not the best shows, but at least his content. He's got Canelo, the biggest star. He's got Anthony Joshua, who has the biggest date waiting for him in Tyson Fury. So Eddie Hearn is that guy right now. He probably, you know, he's the man. And he's got the most important asset aside from the fighters is a network, you know, that reaches a lot of houses. So I think, Hearn is doing pretty well for himself.
Okay. A year and a half or almost 2 years into its, life. Is DAZN delivering?
I believe so. I believe so. Fight fans, you know, they like, we love content. You know, that's number one. And if you give us a competitive fight every here and there, we're grateful. You gotta give credit where credit is due. Garcia and Campbell was a great fight, you know, had, you know, the drama and everything that you really love about the sport. The first Dillian White Povetkin fight, tremendous drama, you know, what you like about the sport. So I would say yes. And Canelo, you want to see him against Billy Joe Saunders and hopefully unify the title. So I have no complaints about the zone up until this point. I think they've done what's expected.
Chocolito Gonzalez, the heir apparent to greatness in the minds of a lot of Nicaraguans. I don't know about that. I don't think he'll ever top Alexis Arguello, but Chocolito's been a champion for a while. And of course, he lost that close fight to Juan Francisco Estrada a fortnight ago. Now the WBC is mandating a third fight between these two guys. And I think it's the right thing to do because most people thought Chocolito won.
Yeah, that's, I think, definitely the right thing to do. I'm sure Mr. Soren Visai is not too thrilled, but,
what name are you giving him today? I mean, he's got like 19 names. What name did you use?
I like Soren Visai. I think it rolls off my tongue a little quicker. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay. Wingo Wangasack works for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they got tired of calling everybody 3K battery, right? That was the big thing out there.
That was a sponsor.
That was a sponsor.
Yeah, it was a sponsor. You tattooed that on your back, you know, you wore their trunks and that, and they gave you more money than you were making in the fight.
Yeah, that boxing club is pretty, if you're not wearing the yellow and the red, you know, you're nobody out there. They all wear the same gear, out of that, Singapore crew.
Well, you know, those people that built a nice little boxing base for them over there. I mean, they've got some standout fighters. I mean, not everybody's a standout fighter in every country, but they've got some fighters that have won world titles. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, in all those little, Asia's getting hot. Asia's been hot before, but now with China, of course, China, I did the first boxing event in the People's Republic of China since 1949. That was in 1993. We'll talk about the brawl at the wall with, Leon of Barber defending the WBO 175-pound championship, I believe, against Mike Sadio. Anyway, Mike Weaver was on that card as well. But, you know, the boxing hadn't been there in a long time. Now boxing is, like, hot. I mean, super hot with two T's in China. They've got women's boxing. They got men's boxing. They got MMA going on. The Chinese, man, listen, Harold Smith wanted to tap into this population in 1993 and 1994. He had the foresight to do this, and unfortunately, he didn't do it. He did it initially, but he didn't do it in the long run, and now people are making bank.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, people know, it's the largest population on the planet. And another thing that the Chinese love to do, they love to gamble. And so that boxing and gambling kind of go together, like peanut butter and jelly. So it's definitely the ideal marriage. It's good. Boxing is a global sport, and you know, the more homes and faces that it reaches, the better.
Yeah. In 1994, the aforementioned Harold Smith had me go to a place as his representative, and the idea was we were going to get 1 point. We were going to get 4 cents a unit. And we were trying to sell these pay-per-view units here in China, and we're going to get 4 cents a unit. Now Harold sent me in and said, you come out with less than 4 cents a unit, and that kind of stuff. So he's, you know, basically trying to motivate me to go in there and get as much money as I can. How much money do you think I came out of there with? If I was supposed to go in with 4 cents, how much did I come out with, Sock?
This sounds like a word problem. Like I'm helping
What I meant was I was supposed to get 4 cents a unit, right? I said, you go in there, you come out with less than 4 cents a unit, and we're kicking your ass. Basically, that's what they were saying, right? I came out with 1.5 cents per unit. You know what the Chinese guy told me? He said, Pedro, Mr. Fernandez, he said, you're going to let a little money stand in the way of a lot of money? And I said, right, yeah. He goes, I guess he goes, I'm not going to let you go out the door and negotiate one more time with your people. Either you do the deal now or you don't do it. It's a cent and a half. Do you want it? And I said, yes, I took it.
But, well, you know, you got shook down.
You should have seen me explaining that to Harold. You should have seen me trying to explain that to Harold. What do you mean you only got a penny and a half? What do you mean you only got, I told you 4 cents. I said, man, I said, it was either a penny and a half or nothing. And I thought a penny and a half was better than nothing. Anyway, Harold was, we're in this van all the way home. I'll never forget that, all the way back to the hotel. Just screaming, going crazy, kicking the side of the van, the whole nine yards. We still made a fistful of money, but Harold wanted to make more.
Nothing wrong with more.
No doubt about that. Amanda Serrano, let's talk about her. Of course, the undefeated, once beaten women's champion. Now she's like 39-1 or something like that. She beats Daniela Bermudez the other day, who could fight a little bit. She had 10 KOs coming in. She's had all these different weight classes. Is she the real deal? Pound for pound wise, should we be talking about her instead of Clarissa Shields?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you have to respect, you know, how long she's been doing this. I believe she's like something, a 7-time world champion or something like that. I lose count, but Amanda's the real deal. The problem with that, with her, is that she fights in the weight classes where the competition really thins out quick, you know, and she hasn't had that marquee fight. Hopefully, the fight with Katie Taylor happens this year. Which would probably be the biggest fight in women's boxing, you know, because they both fight in an exciting style. And it was nice to see Amanda win by knockout, which is something rare in women's boxing. She beat the Argentinian fighter with a body shot. So, you know, it's what people like to see, knockouts. And if you saw more of that in women's boxing, you'd probably hear people clamoring for it more. So. Okay.
Jessica McCaskill, she clowned a long time champion the other day. I mean, so women's boxing, I mean, starting to make moves, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a golden era. I mean, they are on television more than ever. In general, women combat sports. I mean, because they're real athletes, you know, let's not get it twisted. And obviously, entertainment level is not the same as their male counterparts, but these women train hard. The problem is, there's just not that many elite fighters to make competitive fights, and sometimes these female fighters take the easy way out. You know, it's easy to pick apart on these C-level mediocre fighters instead of stepping up and you know, getting a challenge. And hopefully, we see Katie Taylor and Serrano this year.
Okay, last question for Boxing's PhD. Is it time to stick a fork in Cecilia Brakes?
Yeah, I think she's had a great run, and it's time to move on to something else.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV, exclusively.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
The funky baritone saxophone and the funky doctor himself will talk about Stephen Mackenzie Kuka. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The 31st coming from Australia, Down Under Boxing. Saki Obika taking on Sam Haas Solomon in a battle of, like, guys have got to be closer to 40 than they are 20, and 30, I mean. And Tim Zhu, the son of the former world champion Kasia Zhu. Of course, Tim Zhu now 17-0 with 13 whacks, taking on 28-3-1 Dennis Hogan. Another stepping stones fight, I think, for Mr. Zhu. But is Zhu the real deal? My guy from the UK tells me he's not. Of course, my guy is Kenny Rainford. Kenny Rainford will be here next Saturday on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV. That's right. Kenny Rainford from the UK is our ace. handle that. I call him Sir Kenneth. Next Saturday, we'll bring in Socrates Palmer, who you just heard. He usually appears on Saturday. Of course, the Saturday show, we had Oscar Valdez, and we heard Oscar a little bit earlier in today's show. But straight up, Oscar is like the king at 130 pounds. When it comes to speaking and being articulate, you can see him doing color commentary on boxing TV, and very soon, if not even probably before he even retires, he's one of those guys, I think, that can step right in behind the mic and just be articulate. And, of course, he can fight as well. The former Olympian from Mexico, he's articulate both in English and Spanish. And the bottom line is he can fight. 126-pound champion for the WBO, and now the 130-pound WBC Ring Magazine Linear World Champion. More props to the champ. We'll talk about, no doubt about that. The king for a while to be. Yeah, I can say that, man. Oscar Valdez. I think he's going to be around a while. Of course, Gervonta Davis, 14 counts, I believe he was charged by a grand jury in Baltimore, Maryland, stemming from a car accident late last year. Of course, what happened was he got in a car accident, and then he had somebody come pick him up. That's right, he had a car come and pick him up. Hey, man, come get me. I got in a car accident. So he came and got him, picked him up, hit and run, all kinds of felony charges. Lenny Albert thinks he's going to jail. Lenny's got to wake up, man. Rich people with money, whether they're white or black, they don't go to jail anymore. Ask O.J. Simpson. The first time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Want to thank my people viewing us, of course, live feed on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This will be delayed, and they'll trim it up, and you can watch this on the Sports Byline USA channel, Twitch.tv, on a delayed basis. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check us out. iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, live Saturday and Sundays right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Want to thank the WBC. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.